This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Retirement is an important financial goal, but often taken for granted because of the distant timeline and seeming complexity of the issue. So today we're going to hopefully simplify it for you, taking a look at the key points of retirement planning, including how to calculate your retirement goal, the power of compounding and common mistakes. And to help me with this, Peter Yong, financial YouTuber with Mr. Money TV. Peter also has a registered financial planner qualification, otherwise known as an RFP. Peter, welcome to Ringgit and Cents.
Hello. Hi, Roshan. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And hi, everyone else who's listening to this right now.
Thank you for joining me, Peter. We had a chat at a separate event, and I really got to learn some of your perspective on retirement planning, which immediately, I think, made me want to contact you and bring you on the show for this. So let's start with context here, Peter. When we talk about retirement planning, from your years of experience and learning personal finance, what does retirement planning mean to you?
I think when it comes to retirement planning, I like to refer this one advice that I got from people many years ago. They said that when it comes to adulthood, there are a few things in life that you can't avoid. Number one, if you have children, your children's education. And the second thing is actually retirement, because it's one of those things that when you reach that age, it just has to happen. And whether are you prepared or not, it's going to go into it. So in my own personal opinion, when I've met many people over the days as well, I've seen many people going into retirement unprepared. And they felt that retirement just caught them in a surprise. But I think that's pretty sad, because you already kind of know that when the retirement age is going to be, but you just didn't prepare for it. And that kind of leaves you in a regret. And the worst come to that is when you talk to people who are unprepared for their retirement, one of the main things that really strike them is the idea of losing their dignity. Mm-hmm. I think one thing we learn in life is that when we come into adulthood, we reach this place of independence. We make our own money. We live our own life independently. And suddenly when you go into retirement, you slowly fall into that vulnerability of needing to depend on people again. And that's already a struggle that will definitely happen, whether it's because of health or whatever reason. But it gets worse, especially you need to start depending on others financially. Yeah. So That's what it means to me.
Okay. And let's get into some details then, Peter, because if I'm not wrong, you have a wife and one kid, right? 2 years old at this point. So you're in a position that a lot of young Malaysians are in. They're starting out their families. They're concerned about education. They're concerned about day-to-day life. Sometimes retirement planning can be on the back burner. What are you doing in terms of retirement planning from your own side?
Okay, just a little bit of background myself, right? Exactly what you say, I have a small family right now, and I'm also in the sandwich generation, where what happened is that both my wife's parent and my own parent, it's also a little bit depending on us financially, not too much, but a little bit. So we kind of help out in the household expenses and everything. So yes, it kind of does take a back seat at times if you're not conscious about it. So one of the things that I actually do is that I always remind myself that whatever I'm doing today, I'm trying to do it with a goal of what's life going to be at the end of it. And when I talk about the end of it, that means retirement and what's after retirement. So one of the things that I believe is that by the time we reach retirement, I should still have some sort of an income. And with that in mind, I actually am very aggressively building my own business. Yeah, and that includes the YouTube channel that I'm in, because I believe that by the time when I retire, I can still put up videos and that would still generate me income by then. So that's one of the things that I'm really doing for myself in future.
So you're planning, your retirement planning basically involves essentially still working, maybe not at the same degree, but working into your retirement. But what are the specific tactics that you're using? Because you don't have EPF on your side. And this is something that a lot of gig economy workers or even freelancers face. Are you looking at PRS, private retirement scheme, anything else that you're looking at?
Yes. Personally, I think it's very important that as an entrepreneur or as a freelancer that you yourself set aside a certain amount for investment, because one of the things that you don't invest in EPF, right? So I myself personally, I invest in PRS, also invest in certain unit trust funds, and I invest in the stock market and also property. So actually every year, I try to set a plan, like what is my focus for this year? If I save up a certain amount of money, where am I going to put that money? And when it comes to things, a little bit of stuff like PRS and so on, I may have a slightly kind of like yearly goal. But when it comes to bigger investment like properties or so on, sometimes I have like a 3-year goal. In these 3 years, I'm going to focus on accumulating a certain amount of property. And then when it comes to the next 3 years, I'm thinking, okay, I want to accumulate a certain amount in my stock portfolio. And that would help me to contribute towards my retirement fund.
All right. Great. Thank you for sharing that. And if you want to learn more about investing frameworks, especially with the stock market, I actually did an episode with Yap Ming Hui of Whitman Independent Advisors a few weeks back. The title of that podcast is called How to Invest While Managing Anxiety. Peter, right now, I want to take a look at earlier, something you brought up was very important, right? What kind of retirement you want. And a lot of times, even if we are doing the mechanics of saving and putting money aside, whether it's PRS or EPF, it's also important to calculate how much we need for retirement. I think that also really depends on your condition, your situation. You mentioned earlier you were part of the sandwich generation. These are all different factors that that add into the mathematics that that come into play when you're planning for retirement. Could you take us through your view of calculations here?
Okay, when it comes to calculating retirement, right, I think one of the first things is that you need to understand what kind of lifestyle do you want to live in first. Because if you find out the kind of lifestyle you want to live in, then you know how much it will cost you. Yeah. Then after you know how much it costs you, then you're going to decide if you're still going to have some sort of an active income after you retire. Yeah. And if let's say you think you do not have, then you're going to take the full amount and start making a calculation. So how does it work for me, myself, and in the standard way of calculating is, firstly, project how much does it cost based on today's standard. Let's say if you think that you need 5,000 ringgit a month to survive based on today's standard, then you got to project when it comes to the retirement days. Maybe it's 30 years down the road. Let's say you're 30 right now. Then 30 years down the road, how much will the 5,000 ringgit be in 30 years down the road? That would give you the kind of a cost that you need, including inflation. Because one of the things that a lot of people do is that they think, I need 5,000 ringgit for retirement a month. And by the time they retire, what they forgot to take into account is inflation. And by the time they reach there, they realize that 2,000, it's only 5,000 ringgit of value by that time is only worth about 2,000 ringgit today. So that's a very important thing they have to take into account, inflation. Then after that, work backwards and see what is the lump sum capital you need in order to draw 5,000 ringgit of value every month all the way up to the time you will project it to pass away. So one thing interesting about calculating a retirement fund is that you got to predict when are you going to pass on in life.
Such a pleasant topic, Peter.
So like sometimes you just got to look at it and you go like, I think I'm going to die by 20 years old. in 20 years time, you know. One of the easiest way to actually reference that is actually look at your grandparents. Yeah, they say the mortality is actually inherited. So try to take into account of when does your grandparents live till, what's their mortality rate, and give a plus minus 5 years. Yeah, that would help you to be slightly a good rule of thumb to actually follow, I would say.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to retirement planning, planning for more years is generally better, because if you have kids or even other relatives, whatever extra can be left on as a legacy for them, right? Or in a form of inheritance. And you don't want to be caught in a situation where you end up not having enough money to live the remainder of your years. So a few things to take note is, of course, one, you mentioned that the inflation factor, how much you need on a monthly basis to live, and not, this is not necessarily how much money you're making now, but your expenses or how much you expect to spend in your retirement years and how long. Generally, it's considered to be 20 years depending on the demographics. But that also, I guess, like as you've rightly pointed out, depends on a variety of factors. Life expectancy isn't the same across the board. So these are just some of those things. And I'm sure there are inflation calculators online that will help you calculate this, right, Peter?
Yeah, there are so many resources that you can use these days, actually. It's not like last time, you know, you got to take out a calculator and punch in the numbers. These days, just Google it. just Google retirement calculator. You will be able to find so many resources that can help you out with it.
Peter, on that note, we are going into a few messages right now. You're listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, I'm speaking with Peter Yong, financial YouTuber with Mr. Money TV. Peter is also a registered financial planner, otherwise known as an RFP. And today, we're talking about retirement planning. And now, we spent the first part taking a look at Peter's own perspective on retirement and the math that goes into retirement planning. Right now, Peter, I want to dive into investing for retirement. You talked earlier about PRS and stocks. Now, without getting into too much detail about what kind of stocks and things like that, on a macro level, what is your thought process when you are investing for retirement?
When it comes to investing for retirement, it really depends on what age are you at. And for those of the people who are below 40 years old, I would suggest the first thing they need to do is actually learn. Yeah, learn how to invest. That would be the first thing. Why do I say that? Is because, over the years, I've heard a lot of people say this thing, like when it comes to investing in stocks or certain stuff, it tends to be more risky, right? But I always believe in this one thing. Risk is actually relevant to knowledge. If you do not know something, it's always risky. I've known businessmen who will buy a big piece of land to build another warehouse, and they tell me that it's not risky. But if I ask them to put their money into a bond fund, they tell you it's very risky. Yeah. So it really comes down to, how much do you know a particular subject? So when you know more, then your ability to take risks also becomes higher. Yeah, because you are able to take more calculated risks. So I think that if you're young, one of the things that you have, in fact, your greatest asset is actually time. You have all the time it takes, maybe 30 years to 40 years before you hit your retirement. And let's say you're going to be totally healthy and you can probably work until 70 years old. You have like 40 or 50 years if you're 20 today, right? Yeah. And that gives you the power of compounding, right? And so it's much better that you learn how to take a suitable amount of risk, or I would say higher risk at this point, to be more aggressive with it, because you have the ability to swallow that and to weather out the ups and downs of a market. Yeah. So that's in my own opinion, definitely. Yeah, not advice. And what I would love to say is that when you're younger, learn to take more risk. Learn to be more aggressive, because that is something that only you have at a young age. When you hit about 45, 50, you know, you can't take that kind of risk, because retirement is just 10 years down the road. You do not know what's going to happen. You can't say that, you know, I'm going to put in this amount of money and then by the time 10 years, I'm definitely going to get that. What if you miss that? Yeah, you don't have that many years for you to play around. Yeah, so take more risks when you're younger. Learn more. Accumulate your assets in the form of properties, in the form of stocks, equities. And you can always do it not just through physical property buying or buying individual stocks. There's always unit trusts. There's always ETFs. And those things or those instruments actually invest in like real estate as well, or individual stocks as well, but you're buying it in a pool. And that gives you a leverage of actually diversifying it. If let's say you have no specific knowledge, or you're not willing to put that kind of hard work to study a particular investment that much, then you can actually use this kind of pool investment tools where it allows you to put your money into the safe hands of a professional, but definitely by paying a little bit of fee. Yeah.
Right. And essentially, the few things you've highlighted there is one, capitalizing on time, right? And this is where compounding interest comes into play. The earlier the start, you better. The earlier you start, the better in terms of your ability to compound the different investments. But also, the importance of when you're younger, there are less commitments, maybe less obligations. So your tolerance from risk is higher. And this is something I've heard from other guests on the show before. And of course, the diversification, using ETFs or unit trust funds to diversify geographies and asset classes. And on top of that, again, diversifying over time. For those who are unfamiliar with the term compounding, the power of compounding, Peter, could you break that down for us?
Okay. Well, when it comes to power of compounding, it is like what Albert Einstein say, right? The eighth wonder of the world. Yeah. So basically, how it works is that, let's say if you put in 100 ringgit into a saving account today and it says that it's going to give you 1% return, then what happens is that you get 101 ringgit by the end of 1 year. And moving on to next year, the capital that's brought forward in that saving account would be 101%. And now we give you another 1%. It'll be 1% times 101 ringgit instead of 1% times 100. Yeah. So you get more. And every time when there's an interest that occurs in, you actually account it on that new balance that you have. Yeah, which is an accumulation of interest. And that's extremely powerful. And this is one area that people get caught very often, because when someone tells you stuff like, hey, you know, invest in this particular thing because in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to get an interest rate of 5% per year. Then the thing is that sometimes when they tell you that 5%, it may not be compounding. Yeah. It could be just 5% on your initial capital. And when you calculate the compounding, you'll realize that actually the actual return based on compounding is only about 2.5 or 3%. Yeah, it's much lesser than what's promised. So it's very important that you understand this basic concept in finance, which is compounding.
All right, Peter. So those are some of the things to keep in mind, especially when we're investing for long term, some of the things we've covered there. Now, from your own experience and your learnings and your observations, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions about retirement, or even some of the common mistakes that you've seen personally?
I think when it comes to misconception of retirement, I think firstly is the definition of retirement itself. I think many of us tend to have the definition that by the time you retire, you know, you're doing nothing, you're just going to sit there, kick back, relax. But the truth is, when it comes to retirement, it may not end up being like that. And we have seen over the days, many people who actually retire, after about half a year, they just can't take that life anymore. So it's more important that you actually start thinking about, by the time you want to retire, what do you really want to do? And one of the things that I would actually suggest for most people is to pick up some sort of a skill that you can continue to use even when you retire. Like maybe like what you're doing, you know, Roshan, you have a nice voice, you know, show and so on. Yeah, that could be something that you are still doing by the time you retire. Like David Attenborough, you know, his voice is fantastic, right? And at the age of 93, he made his new Netflix film to talk about the natural world, right? And the same as for me, I tried my very best to pick up skills that I can use even after retirement. And because retirement, it's not just about not working. It is about still growing, you see. You got to still continue growing in your life. You got to still continue living and doing something meaningful. So that's definitely one of the first thing when it comes to the more qualitative side of it. And the second part of it that I want to say about retirement that a lot of people make a mistake on is not taking account into inflation, which I already mentioned. And the third one is actually building an income stream. Because many people tend to have that idea that I just need to accumulate maybe 1 million or 3 million for my retirement. And what I can do is continue drawing out some sort of money from it every month. That is not true, because at the end of the day, you can accumulate a lump sum, but if you didn't accumulate it with a purpose of generating income, it may cause you a lot of problems. Let me just give a very simple example. I've known people who actually invested in the stock market and accumulate their stock portfolio. No, majority of it is in the stock portfolio. And by the time they retire, suddenly the market crashed. And that's something that we cannot predict, we can't control, right? For anyone who actually have 90% of their money in the stock market and they're waiting to retire this year, are in deep trouble, because the market just crashed by about 30 to 40%, right? And that means that your retirement portfolio is reduced by that amount. So if you did not design your retirement fund in that manner that gives you an income, then you are in really a big trouble. But if, let's say, earlier you have designed your portfolio in that manner where whether the market is good or bad, it would still give me, let's say, 5,000 ringgit a month. My principal can just follow along the market going up and down, but it will still give me a return of 5,000 ringgit a month. Then you would be a lot safer. So always keep in mind these three things. Number one, the lifestyle, which translates into the purpose of your living in that sense. And the second part is taking into account of inflation. And the last part of it is actually design your portfolio in that manner that covers income as well.
Yeah, I think this is why we hear a lot of times that the asset allocation in portfolios shifts towards more stable investments as you get closer to retirement. This is something I've heard from licensed financial planners or even other guests on the show, although no episode comes to mind right now. And earlier when you pointed out that the stock market crashed, I mean, there are certain sectors that have been more hard hit. I mean, if you're in the rubber glove sector, you're not going to be crying about that right now. But the key point here, I think you've noted, is the volatility, right? And you can't afford this volatility the closer you get to retirement.
Yes.
All right, Peter, on that note, I'd like to thank you so much for joining me today and your time.
Thank you very much, Roshan, for having me here. It's my honor.
I was speaking with Peter Yong, financial YouTuber with Mr. Money TV. Peter is also a registered financial planner, otherwise known as an RFP. Now, remember, with all possible investments, you have to do your own homework into the asset or strategy at hand, keeping your own risk profile and financial goals in mind. You've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasin for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.